Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
We're running out of words to describe it. Jacob Mizorowski has the baseball world in the palm of his hand. 12 strikeouts matching a career high. He threw about a million miles an hour. The command was nearly perfect. Carried a no-hitter into the sixth inning. And the Brewers win 5-1 in the opener against the Cardinals on this Memorial Day series. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. And Craig, I don't like to use the word unbelievable. I think it's poor English personally, but we're treading up to that line right now for Jacob Mizorowski to have the month of May that he has had. To list out the numbers, he has not allowed an extra base hit this month. He's made 5 starts. The Brewers are 4-1 in those starts. They really should be 5-0 in those starts if it wasn't for a 9th inning blow up against the Padres. Otherwise, today was the first time he allowed a run this month. 31 in the third innings, 49 strikeouts, just 6 walks, a 0.29 ERA for Jacob Mizorowski. The opening day starter has been an ace in everything that comes with it so far this year.
I think the word I use is unexpected, Dom, and that may seem underwhelming, but there is no way that we would have expected this guy to do what he is doing. We knew he had talent. We knew he threw 102, 103, but I don't think anybody at this level expected to see what he has been doing since maybe high school. Think about this. Every time you talk to him about his ability to pitch, he is not surprised by what he's doing at the major league level. And he's not being cocky about it. He's just telling the truth because he's been doing this in his short lifetime span. But to do it at this level, the major league level, against the elite hitters is just... to me, it's just truly unexpected at this point. I never thought I'd see a guy, pitching well over 100 miles an hour with ease into the seventh inning almost every time he goes out, like we've seen from this guy. It is just, it's been a treat, man. It's just been a treat.
Well, I mean, I want to go back and I want to put my hand up because sometimes, Craig, we in the media, we don't admit when we were wrong. We don't admit when we, maybe got a little ahead of ourselves. And honestly, when I was watching him in the second half of last season, you could see a difference. After he got hit by that comebacker against the Cubs in his 7th start, he went on the IL dealing with it. He came back against Cincinnati. He wasn't great, partially blaming the mound. And if you know in baseball, people blame the mound there at Cincinnati all the time. But then, even from then on, he had maybe one really good start aside from... the only one really good one against the Pirates. And then otherwise, he was kind of meh when he came back and a lot of command issues. He was kind of all over the place. That was the effectively wild kid. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't think I'd put him on the postseason roster. And clearly, something clicked for him in that game 2 of the NLDS where, in the words of like a golfer, found it! Like, he got it back. He found the posture. He found the cues that he needed. And last postseason to now, he has been the version that the Brewers dreamed of him being, and maybe even better than that dream so far.
Yeah, and I think a couple of those things that play into that, too. He is incredibly competitive, and he rises to the occasion, and he pitches well against big teams so far in his young career. And that's and that's also to match the fact that no matter who he's facing, he takes everybody seriously and he wants to beat you and he wants to win the game. I mean, I don't care who it is, but when it's against a higher level opponent, I mean, the Cardinals right now knocking on the door, they're the surprise team. Does he want to go out there and let him continue to have a good first couple of months of the season? Absolutely not. He's trying to knock all that down. And I think the other thing that he obviously found at that time period last season late was he found the zone again for just about every single pitch. Well, every single pitch he's thrown right now is so successful in the zone. I mean, that's what makes him unhittable at this point. But that's where he has talent as well. The 100 plus is such a bonus for a guy that has been pretty accurate and is only getting even more accurate and dangerous where he needs to be right now, every single batter, almost every single pitch.
I mean, the numbers are eye-popping, and we can talk about 101+, and we'll get to those numbers in a little bit. But I think just simply, sometimes you have to peel back the onion and just kind of look at, hey, what makes a pitcher effective? He throws strikes. And specifically with that triple-digit fastball, which he threw three-quarters of the time today, 76% of his pitches were fastballs today. Okay, of those 73 total fastballs today, they were a called strike or a swing and miss 49% of the time. Doesn't even include the balls put in play against him. Okay, so that's six more strikes there. 73 pitches, 36 of them were either a called strike or a swing and a miss. That's 50% of the fastballs. And he's throwing at 100 miles an hour. That is the definition of dominant. That is the definition of unhittable. And that's what it looked like through the first six innings of today's game.
Yeah, that's just incredible stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, Dom, but today I really admired what he was doing out there against a team. Not just what he was doing because he can and he's, you know, can be very successful at a lot of things. I just watched and I thought to myself, I'm not saying the St. Louis Cardinals didn't know what was going on, but today it kind of looked like that true dominant performance by a pitcher. Almost like if you're waiting for somebody young and talented like this to make that even next step, and he's going to keep making next steps. We all understand that. I thought today was just one of those that you're right. Every single pitch he threw somehow was a strike. It was just incredible. And the swings and misses, the calls, it just went on and on and on. To see that happen for seven innings, I mean, that's the earmarks of, you know, a no-hitter is going to be not too further down the road in his career. You can almost see the buildup to it, the way things are going now. And I'm not saying it's going to happen soon, but it might. And if it does, you have to look back at what he's doing right now to get there. Because I thought he was – had one of his more efficient days today as well on his pitch count.
Yeah, I mean, all the innings were pretty tidy when it comes to total pitches thrown. I mean, he didn't throw more than 20 pitches. Heck, he didn't even throw more than 17 pitches in an inning today, and that's because he had command. He was throwing strikes. He was getting swing and miss and called strike, the Goldilocks combination that any pitcher is striving for. And he maintained the velo. I think that's the other thing that's blowing my mind right now about Jacob Mizorowski and his development. We've documented it a little bit, but it hasn't really gone to the mainstream yet of just, hey, the dude gained two pant sizes in a good way because of the mass he's added on his lower half. Yes, he's dealing with cramping from time to time, but that's because his body is adapting to being able to maintain this velocity. And today, he completes seven innings throwing 57 pitches of at least 100 miles an hour or more. Nobody has ever done that in the pitch tracking era. I think the only guy that we can easily say has done anything similar to carrying velocity the way that Jacob Mizorowski has done is Nolan Ryan, and we did not have a radar gun on him back in the 70s. So my thought is, man, if we are comparing you to that guy, this is something incredible in the modern game.
Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing earlier today while he was pitching. You know, who is really that guy? And I probably saw more, you know, Nolan Ryan than you did. But you're right. I mean, if you're looking at a guy, you talk about longevity and the ability to do whatever he wants for seven innings, nine innings. I mean, for him, it was always nine innings. You know, the other guy I think about, too, maybe just in physical comparison. And I remember when Randy Johnson came on the scene. I mean, his velo, I'm pretty sure, Dom, was not quite what we're seeing here. But nobody wanted to face that guy. Nobody wanted to face that guy. And he had the full wind-up, same, you know, long body. What was he, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9"?
6'10".
Nobody, 6'10", right. Nobody wanted to face that guy. And I feel like it's very, very much the same, if not worse, for a batter now.
I mean, and we have every reason to track it and tell you why you can't hit this guy. And he's been living up to that standard for Mizorowski so far this year. He's the first pitcher in baseball to 100 strikeouts. It's the second fastest Brewer to ever reach 100 strikeouts, only behind Corbin Burns by 4 outs back in his Cy Young season 2021. And, you know, let's get ahead of ourselves a little bit. You know, at 11 starts now, that's, you know, a third of your season as a starting pitcher. I mean, 300 strikeout season is on the radar. It is in the realm of possibility for Jacob Mizorowski right now. Forget 200. 300 is in the field of play right now for the Miz.
Yeah, that's incredible just to be talking like that right now, especially where kind of starting pitching has gone. It's just not the same for the same type of numbers, you know, the 3,000 strikeouts, the 300 wins, you know, you're like, who's going to get this? But I mean, this guy has so much old school with the mix of so much new school. It is just something to watch. It just is.
It's a top to bottom success story for the Brewers organization, from scouting to player development to health and nutrition to sports medicine to strength and conditioning to pitching coaches and to the kid himself. Miz deserves a lot of credit for growing up before our own eyes and understanding what it takes to be a big leaguer. And you, Chris Hook, I played the audio before the game today of just that. He's started to understand that foundation is done between starts, and you get to show it off during the starts. So the work is when no one's watching, and then you get to, you know, sort of peacock in front of everybody when you get 12 punch-outs and only one walk and only allow, two hits in today's game. I mean, just simply terrific stuff from Jacob Mizorowski, certainly the headliner in today's game. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620, the Saturday Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. You know, this is just a great palate cleanser for the Brewers. A good quality baseball game. The offense deserves love, too. We got to talk about the offense next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 5-1, still in first in the Central. The unofficial day you're allowed to look at standings. But we don't look at them again until July after today. 31-20, 51 games into the season. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. Before we go further, let's hear on the phone lines. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Javier in Milwaukee. Javier, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom, how's it going? We're not allowed to look at standings, but we are allowed to look at the trade deadline. So my question is, while things are going good here, great win by, again, presumably NL Pitcher of the Month, Le Miz. Who do we got at third base, shortstop, that the Brewers might make a trade for, given our depth at that position? Obviously not a lot of value from Renhifo or Joey Ortiz. And isn't now, when the Brewers are doing well, the best time? You got 2 months, a good runway to see what you got from Cooper Pratt or from one of the other prospects you've been talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a good question there, Javier. I appreciate it. And Craig, we've talked about the offense, you know, from the left side of the infield really all year long, of course. And I think that what I see right now is still a lot of a glob in the middle of the playoff race, where you're trying to find out who's actually going to be available, right? And what I see right now for the crew is they always trust their candidates internally over externally. And, you know, I don't need to bang this drum over and over again, but I've said it before. I think Jet Williams will be up before the end of June. I really do believe that. And as long as he keeps holding up his end of the bargain down in AAA, his versatility is just so Brewers-coded to help this team win games.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I've been thinking about this, too. At what point do we see at least, you know, one change? Because we know where this team right now struggles the most, and that is offensively. And their pitching, Dom, is so good here right now. I mean, this is the best that the pitching has been maybe ever with this franchise. I feel like I can say that, knowing I've been part of what's going on here for such a long time, either as a fan or working over here. And, you know, you just don't know when you're going to get opportunities to keep improving and take chances. And I think obviously the minor leagues here right now for this team is stacked enough for them to take a chance. And I don't think, maybe even saying take a chance isn't even right, because the moves that this franchise usually make are usually pretty doggone good and successful. So if they're earmarking a player or two, I've got to believe this is the year to go out there and find them, because they did a great job finding Andrew Vaughn a year ago, and he's not disappointing right now, that's for sure. Outside of that, they have some holes that they can fill or you know, take a chance on some of these young guys. But you can't take a chance late in the season on guys that are unproven in the majors. This might be the time to do it.
You know, and I'm just going to be blunt and honest here. As I'm looking at Fangraphs, I'm trying to figure out, you know, who could realistically be a target. I'm just looking at third base, because you're never really going to find a shortstop at the trade deadline. I'm just looking at third base, and I'm just going to be completely honest here, Craig. No one jumps out at me. Either A, they're not available, or B, there are too many flaws. I mean, offense is down across baseball. We need to talk about that. I mean, it's not like, oh, there's just some guy hitting 30 bombs waiting on an expiring contract for you to go get. That doesn't really happen right now. And, you know, again, it's all glogged up right now where we don't know who's the pretenders and the contenders. The American League is so bad to start the year that everybody feels like they're in it. But that's a conversation for another time as we get closer to July. But I'm sure they're picking up the phone, looking around, trying to see what they have. But they do trust their internals more than they trust the externals. And I kind of agree. As I look at who could be available, what fits the Brewers' budget, that sort of thing, nothing on this list jumps out to me, because it takes two to tango. You know, they got to be willing to give them up, and you got to be willing to deal with maybe their imperfections on your team. But today, Andrew Vaughn, like you just mentioned, it's something that I think we earmarked in spring training, but didn't really get a chance to talk about because of the hamate bone injury. The dude's just a pure hitter. And I think there's a difference. I mean, there definitely is a difference between a slugger and a hitter. And Andrew Vaughn is a hitter. He's only played in 16 games now since coming back from the hamate bone. He's now hitting .333. His OPS is .934. It's only 60 or so plate appearances right now. But six doubles, a homer, equal walks and strikeouts. That's the thing that signals to me the dude is back to his first-round talent. The dude is back to, hey, I can see any pitch and hit it. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going over the fence, but my hit tool has always been my carrying tool.
Yeah, I was just going to say a very similar point on the fact that he's back to being that number one pick status. Look, number one picks don't always, we know this in this franchise, there's been enough, they don't always work in baseball. That's just how it goes. But sometimes you're not in the right system. And when you get into the right system, and this guy hasn't bounced around, it's not like, I don't want to say he failed with the White Sox, but his numbers weren't good, and it looks like he did.
I'll say
right?
it for you. He failed with the White Sox. Okay. I'll say it for you. He would admit that the same thing.
Yeah. But it's not like, Dom, that he was with four or five different clubs, and he also failed and then found it here, where then when you're on that fifth or sixth club and you find it here and you haven't been here for a full year, then you wonder if this guy can keep it up. I really feel like this change and being in this system was at the perfect time of his younger career, that this is a really good fit for him. And he is indeed looking more and more like the first round pick that he was. And I also believe the power will pick up eventually with him and probably the rest of these guys as well. But I'm loving the extra base hits. I'm loving drawn walks. We've talked about this for a month, just wondering when in the world are they going to start hitting multiple doubles in a game, and what chance that'll give them to score more runs. And they needed these guys back. They needed those three injured guys back. And he, of course, is one of them. And, you know, he's fun to watch. I mean, he's poking that ball down the right field line. He's pulling it down the left field line. He's getting doubles no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, as a Brewer, and this does not include today's game, but as a Brewer, Andrew Vaughn, in what is now 300 or so plate appearances, is hitting .306 with an .865 OPS. And maybe we'll revisit this in about, you know, 80 or so games when he's at 162 games as a Brewer, and we look at what those numbers are, and it looks more in line of what he was as a White Sox. I mean, he was averaging upper 20s, even back-to-back 30 double seasons in 2023, 2024. He's been over 20 homers once in his career, but that's kind of all you're asking for out of Vaughn is, hey, give us 30 doubles and let's say 15 to 20 homers, and you're on base 350 of the time, that is a super valuable first baseman in today's game.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And Dom, how many years have the Brewers been searching for a guy that can just be consistent on offense and get on base and drive in some runs like this guy really has the capability of doing here? It's been a heck of a long time post Prince Fielder, by the way. So this might be the guy. It was a good pickup. There's no question about that. They did a great job of going after Vaughn. And, you know, I just want to keep seeing those numbers continue to grow. Like you're saying, let's get him up to, you know, a year's worth of numbers as a Brewer and see how he has really fit in nicely here so far.
I mean, overall, 211 hits today for the crew. Vaughn had three of them. We didn't even mention Yelly went yard. I mean, Yelly hit his fourth homer of the season, and it was opposite field, and it was left on left, right? I know it's been a bit of a slow start for Yelly coming off the IL from the groin, and then he had the back issues, but it's just like, oh, yeah, and Yelly's hitting 262 despite a stop-and-start year, and he hit his fourth homer of the year. It's like, that's also not normal either. Yelly's playing very, very good baseball despite not being quite at 100%, I would say, but he's getting closer and closer to that full season rhythm, and he's been just, as always, steady Eddie. Talking to him in the clubhouse today of just seeing that there is an opportunity for this team to really get out on a run, that they are in such great shape here at Memorial Day.
You know that he's telling every one of these guys in that clubhouse to just keep doing what you do, keep understanding what your role is. Yes, we're winning here right now. We're playing better baseball, but he's just going to be that influence that this team needs to have because he is still producing at a high level. Is there anything better than to see the home run that we saw today from Christian Yelich? Like you mentioned, lefty versus lefty, and we're going the other way. I mean, I think his opposite field home runs are positively majestic because you can't really see it off the bat the way it is. You just see that ball hit the air. But if you're live and in person and watching this, it's like it is a majestic carry of the baseball. And that's talent. I mean, that's ability. And he's obviously got ability to any field to do whatever he wants. So he's there. But I do agree with you. I'm not sure he's 100% just yet. But hopefully we'll put him in that category of look out when he is, right?
Yeah, he's going to be terrifying when he adds himself to this list of productive hitters for the Brewers. I mean, they even survived a day. Yes, they each drew a walk, but Churio and Terang went a combined 0 for 6 with 5 strikeouts today, and the Brewers still had 11 hits and 5 runs. That's a sign of a healthy offense, and I know they're in the bottom in homers, but they have other ways to do it. They don't rely on just one guy, and I think the offense is in very, very good shape right now, even as the Twitter mob tells you it's not in good shape. I think it's a very, very good offense. One more segment with Craig, because let's get ahead of ourselves. We're at like the third of the way through the season. Let's look around and try to take stock of how everything else looks right now, because this is that unofficial time to start doing so. Brewers win 5-1 over the Cardinals in the opener of a 3-game set on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Who's Hot, Who's Cold was brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Don't be caught without your AC working when you need it most with summer heat coming fast. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $25 off AC tune-ups, but now only through the end of May, so you're running out of time here. Appointments are filling. Act now. Schedule it at cider.com, Seider, before it's too late. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio. So who's hot? The Brewers, obviously, they're in first place in their division. Who's cold? We can kind of point and laugh, I guess, for a moment. Maybe it'll come back to bite us here, but the Cubs are on an L9 on the heels of a W10, and they're 29-25, and quite frankly, you know, Craig, when I looked at their season and I look at their schedule, right, they have the two separate 10-game winning streaks, as we know. But yet, if they just played 500 ball over those 20 games, so let's say they're just 10-10, right? Well, they would currently be 19-35, right? 16 games under 500. Now, it doesn't work like that. They're still only 4 games above 500, but they're on an L9. The offense has slowed down. The pitching has a million injuries they're dealing with right now. I'm not trying to kick them while they're down, but I'm also trying to say, hey, I told you so. Like, how many times do we have to play this song and dance where the Brewers don't get any credit, they go in and stomp them at their place, and they're playing quality baseball by the end of May?
Yeah. Well, you know, those are good takes on the Cubs and their situation over there. And I thought, you know, when they were playing really well, they kind of looked at times that they put a team together finally after a few years with Council there that was playing better defense and was getting better pitching. And, you know, now they have some, you know, big bats that were coming through. But I think we're seeing the one thing that they don't have that the Brewer organization has that keeps you winning is depth. And I think to me, that's been a key here so far. I don't know how they can be so dramatic in their swings. I saw the Brewers, you know, way, way back in my day, you know, when they won 13 straight, and then I think they lost 12 or 13 straight. And, you know, then it's like, how do you recover from that? You know, you think you're going places and then you're really not. So it's still early. They're certainly their deficit right now is really nothing to make up. But I don't mind kicking the Cubs while they're down, Dom. I have absolutely no problem with that because I would take the brand of baseball, the consistent brand of baseball that this franchise just continues to do over anything right now. I mean, we've talked about the great pitching today. We've talked about the offense, you know, being down. Maybe it's down across baseball, but their run differential has them as a top five team in all of baseball. But that's where they've been the last few years too. And they'll get there and continue to do what they're doing here right now, which has all been pretty positive, really.
Yeah, plus 71 run differential is third best in baseball. The top two are both residing in the National League in Atlanta and Los Angeles. And a reminder, last season the Brewers were plus 172 for the full season, even after starting minus 32. And once their run differential was the best in baseball by season's end. So keep that in mind, that they are certainly a team that prevents runs with the best of them. While they don't score runs traditionally with homers, they find other ways to do it. The other thing I want to point out is just the division as a whole. I know I was just kicking on the Cubs, but they're still 29 and 25. That would be in a playoff position. That would be hosting a wild card round of the American League, and that would be in first place in the AL West. The National League has certainly been super powerful to start the year. Now, part of that has to do with the Mets being a dumpster fire, the Giants being a dumpster fire. Colorado is better than they were last year, but they're still not very good. So there are some losing teams in the National League where it feels very top-heavy. But yet, here we are, Craig. It's Memorial Day, and everybody in the NL Central is still above 500. This is remarkable.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was looking at that today, too, because what did we conclude the month of April and everybody had a winning record. And I think maybe that was the first or only second time that's happened after the first month of baseball. But to do it for another full month, that's crazy. And the thing about that, too, is not all those teams are going to be playoff qualifying by the time, you know, all of this is played out. And I do think, you know, one or two teams is going to start falling off the end a little bit here. But that opening, this opening first 2 months of the baseball season has been absolutely crazy in this division. And it's, I don't know, you got a ticket or you want to get a ticket and you don't maybe necessarily want to see some of these teams all the time in this division. This is going to be really competitive stuff here because it has been so far.
Well, let me give you a question then. As you know, after today's games, St. Louis is still at 29-23. That's currently the fifth best record in the National League. San Diego has the number one wild card spot. Now, which of the following five teams, okay, five teams for three spots do you think gets in? Okay, San Diego, St. Louis, Arizona, Chicago, Pittsburgh. Which of those five teams, which of the three of the five, again, San Diego, St. Louis, Arizona, Chicago, Pittsburgh, which of those teams do you think has the best chance of sticking around in this race?
I think San Diego and the Cubs for sure do. I've kind of liked what I've seen out of the Cardinals, even though I really don't want to say that they're back, but they're a pretty good ball club. But I'll just go with them for now, probably because I've seen them a little bit more than some of the other teams here right now. Although, Is Arizona ever out of it ever? It seems
true.
I mean, so yeah, there's that.
And they're going to get better.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They're going to get
right.
Yeah, they're going to get better with Burns coming back, with Martinez coming back, with Puck coming back. I mean, Arenado has started to swing the bat really well. Corbin Carroll's a perennial all-star. They're a scary team. They currently hold that last wild card spot as things stand right now. I think Cincinnati's coming back down to earth. Pittsburgh won today over the Cubs. Philadelphia's on the outside looking in right now. You got to figure they're going to get it together at some point, but they're still a game under 500. I just really like what the National League, the storylines that are forming right now a third of the way into the season.
Yeah, and it is. It's only a third of the way, and you know things are – I still say in baseball, the thing I love most about it, if you just start measuring out thirds of a year and just how important putting together, you know, up to 3 and 4 months of really, really good baseball play, whether you're a team or you're an individual – we're only just getting started. One of my favorite lines for our pregame show, we're only just getting started here, and it has been fun so far. And the greatest thing about baseball is you just never know how this is all going to unfold in that final weekend in September. And so far, it's been something to watch, that's for sure.
It's been super fun for the Brewers to be out to a great start. It's a little different vibe than Memorial Day this time last year, right, Craig? We were like, oh, hey, they can finally get above 500 this week. And little did we know they would go on a W8 and not look back the rest of the season. But to be 11 games above 500 on Memorial Day, it's a pretty good place to be, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep it rolling here and keep this team on the winning track here right now. They got a good chance tomorrow to wrap. I love having this Kyle Harrison Miz 1-2 punch here right now. That's unbelievable.
And you'll talk about Kyle Harrison with Bob Brainerd tomorrow, as I'll be on assignment tomorrow. But appreciate you, Craig, and go get on a boat somewhere before the sun goes down, all right?
We'll do. All right. See you later, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon here on 620 WTMJ. We're going to do a little buy or sell. Let's give you all those numbers, all the superlatives, everything that everybody wants to freak out about with the numbers from Miz. We'll hear from Pat Murphy. We'll get to some highlights. We'll keep on rolling right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. What a difference a day makes, says Doug. When this guy pitches, I mark down a win. He is becoming an automatic. 5 runs is more than enough for the Miz. From Aaron in Illinois, Miz is certainly the player of the game. I'm buying Miz, selling that he can't pitch past 5. All-star game starting pitcher, perhaps. Jacob Mizorowski, Cy Young, team MVP. And what a fun day at the yard. Appreciate that one from Aaron. Alex in Oshkosh, Mizorowski, an absolute stud and the first to 100 Ks this season. You know, to get through some of the superlatives here and some of the numbers, another name to bring up. We already mentioned Nolan Ryan in this game, in this postgame show. OptiStats of the Elias Sports Bureau saying, pitchers with at least 100 strikeouts and have allowed 50 or fewer total bases, so, you know, singles are worth 1, doubles are worth 2, triples are 3, etc., through their first 11 starts of a season. This goes back to 1901. Okay, 100 or more strikeouts, 50 or fewer total bases in their first 11 starts. Jacob Mizorowski and Jacob DeGrom in 2021. Now, DeGrom in 21 got hurt, but his first 15 starts of that season, he had a 108 ERA. He was unhittable. That was kind of the peak of Jacob DeGrom. And then the injuries happened, and DeGrom is back pitching, and he's healthy again. But I think what we know now about the health and pitchers and everything from DeGrom's early days with the Mets from, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, about pitch limits and biomechanics and how to add weight to an arm. Because DeGrom's also kind of a bit of a noodle guy, too. And Miz has made the adjustment to his body to get stronger and to maintain and handle velocity. And speaking of the velocity, again, to start the day, 11 of the first 13 pitches he threw in the first inning were over 100 miles an hour. In total, 57 pitches in this game were at least 100 miles an hour. That's the most ever in the pitch tracking era, I should say, since 2008. So to recap, 100 or more, 57 pitches. That's the most. 101, 40 pitches. That's the most. 102, that's 22 pitches, tied for the most with himself. 103, 9 pitches, second behind himself with 10. I mean, the velocity being carried throughout the game. His last inning in the seventh, when he was letting it eat and emptying the tank, he still had 9 pitches get over 100 miles an hour. It was amazing to see him maintain the velocity after all the talk about the cramping. And a reminder, too, to go back to remember that cold night in Boston when he said, I'm good, send me back out there for the sixth inning. And then he walked the world and couldn't get out of the frame. And all of a sudden, things changed. Now, the weather could have had something to do with that when he was dueling against Garrett Crochet. But really, since that day, the command has not been an issue for Jacob Mizorowski. Sure, he walked the leadoff man today. That was it. He only had two other three-ball counts the entire day. The command has been so impressive. And I was talking to Juan Sandoval, one of the pitching coaches of the Brewers, earlier today, saying, you know, isn't it kind of amazing that we're talking about a repeatable, you know, easy mechanics for Miz, and he throws 102 miles an hour? It's kudos to everybody involved. I mean, I'm out of ways to describe it. Truly, I am. And I just can't wait for his next start. If you want to project out with today being Monday and an off day on Thursday, and if you're projecting Woody to be back on Wednesday, you know, probably Sunday, maybe Saturday, but probably Sunday against Houston, because then the Brewers can roll with Logan Henderson perhaps on Friday in Houston in his hometown. Now, he is dealing with a little bit of a back issue right now. It's something that we're monitoring. But Henderson perhaps on Friday, which could then be followed by any combination of Sproat or Patrick or whatever the Brewers ultimately decide to do. I think they want to keep Sproat in the starting rotation on Saturday, and then you would have Miz go on Sunday against Houston, and then they come back home for San Francisco, so he'll miss San Francisco and then have to pitch in Colorado. So these are things that are starting to get folded into the equation right now for the crew as this little stop and start stretch that the season is going on. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. Take a breather, come back, hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's victory on 620 WTMJ. Easiest pick ever for player of the game. Miz. Match your career high with 12 strikeouts, only walk one, only allow two hits and one run. Yeah, his scoreless streak is over at 29 in the third, third longest in team history for a starting pitcher, only behind Freddie's last year that went to 30 innings. And the leader is Teddy Higuera back in 1987. But the player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in the summer in style. Save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Pat Murphy in a happy mood as his offense scored enough and the Miz dominated again. Spoke with the media earlier today.
Have you ever seen anything like what Miz
Mizorowski's
doing?
I mean, that's really special, man. Really special. Yeah, I mean, the consistency, pitching too, not just throwing, pitching. He's worked hard. He's earned it, you know, and he continues to work hard in between starts. Again, I always credit the catcher. I think William did a magnificent job today with him. That was a great pitching performance, and offensively, I think we did just enough, but that was great to see Ellie. When he's hitting him in the bullpen, then you know his trending in the right direction. So I'm really, really happy for him. You know, Rengifo had a big game. Mitchell did some great things. Vonnie, fantastic. Now that kid's good, man. Their pitching today that's two great prospects they have. I mean, Libitor's been in the league, what, 3 years maybe? He doesn't get nearly the credit he deserves. He's really, really, really good. You ask our guys, he's really good. And the kid they brought in, that's his debut, right? He's a big prospect for him. Looks like he's got a chance to be really, really good too.
You know, we get fixated on the velocity. It's hard not to with Miz. Can you just put into maybe frame it for lay people like us? Throwing 102.4 in the seventh inning on his 94th pitch, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, again, he conditioned himself. You can tell all those young pitchers out there, you have to have a lower half. And he's put together a great lower half. And he's worked at it in his life. And now the delivery is sound. When the timing is sound, the delivery is sound, So at foot strike, the hand is in the right position, and then you take a kid with that extension, seven whatever extension, and he's throwing the ball 100, and then God knows, 101, 102. And it's pretty easy. It's not max effort. So,
what's been the key to him improving his control? The way he has leadoff pattern, and that was it today.
No, I mean it's all about having that consistent delivery and that consistent focus, and like I said, the consistent timing. And it really seems like he has it. It was magnificent. One of the best performances I've seen in a long time.
You think it's got to go on hand in hand for him to be able to command the consistency of all kind of come together at the same time?
Yep, sure has. Sure has. I mean, it's just, it's a matter of, he really cares about it. He cares about it, and he takes care of business in between starts. And he's not real worried what other people say. He's just worried about taking care of the simple things and the important things, the priorities in life. And, the team is just like, wow. Really, he's earned the respect of everybody in that room.
You've seen too many others like the similar guys pitch off the fastball as much.
Yeah, I know. No, I haven't. I've seen it when the vision is really tough, if there's shadows, things like that, but that wasn't the case today. And that's a really good ball club that has a really good offensive team, and they've been, that's a club that has, beaten everybody. They haven't been pushed around. They've been really good, and they are really good.
On the offensive side, what have you liked about what Andrew Vaughn has done since coming back?
Yeah, Vaughn, he's a hitter, man. He's a hitter. I love it. I don't measure the home runs. I measure the line drives he hits in the right center field gap, and he understands hitting. And he's not totally on it right now. I mean, he's got a little. They're working on things, and he's just a great baseball player, man. He really is. He's not physically talented. He's mentally talented. I shouldn't say he's not physically talented. I mean, there's some limitations to him. But he's a hitter. He's a hitter.
Hey, see, Murph agrees with us. He's a hitter. He's a pure hitter. Andrew Vaughn is. So let's relive it. Coming up after the break, highlights from a 5-1 victory over the Cardinals on 620 WTMJ. It's a fun one. Let's cap our show with some highlights from a Memorial Day victory over the Cardinals.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Some beautiful baseball in the bottom of the first inning with Miz starting for the Crew against Matthew Liberatore. For the Cardinals, a leadoff walk, a stolen base, get him over, get him in, right, William?
And the 1-1 to Contreras. Ground ball, well placed, left side's going to sneak through and into left field. Around third is Churio. Here comes the throw, it's up the line, and the Brewers have struck first yet again. They lead 1-0 here in the bottom of the first.
And the hot starts would continue. The next batter was Christian Yelich.
2-2 pitch to Yelich, and a fly ball left center field. Hit well. Racing back is Torres at the track. Well gone! Christian Yelich, his fourth of the season. It's a two-run shot, and the Brewers lead it 3-0 here in the first.
The Brewers have scored first in all four games on this homestand, and another three-run first. They have the most first-inning runs in baseball. Meanwhile, the Miz was taking care of business on the other side.
Another 1-2. Got him looking over the inside corner. 102-mile-an-hour paint right on the black. He hit Contreras' mitt exactly where it was set up. Jacob Mizorowski strikes out the side here in the third inning, and impressively so.
I mean, he was still having a zero in the hit column into the fifth inning, and you always need the play if you're thinking about a no-no.
2-2 pitch. And a little liner caught by Renjifo. Hit off the end of the bat. It fluttered up there. Renjifo moving to his left, able to reach up and make a catch as he was jumping at the same time. And Mizorowski with a 1-2-3. Top of the fifth inning.
He would allow a hit, though, in the sixth, and in fact, a run in the sixth to break his scoreless streak at 29 and a third. The Brewers, though, scored in the bottom of the sixth on an RBI single from Garrett Mitchell. Miz returned for the seventh, leading 4-1. Only one thing left to do.
The 96th pitch, 1-2-2. Swing and a miss. He went to a curveball to strike out Mason Winn. And Jacob Mizorowski punctuates a gem on Memorial Day with back-to-back strikeouts to end a career-high tying seventh inning of work. Standing ovation from the crowd at American Family Field. He put Winn away with a curve.
Josh Mauer's call. Andrew Vaughn went out an RBI double late in the contest. The Brewers just enough offense to get the job done. They win 5-1 over the Cardinals. So now, at 31-20, the Brewers get ready for Game 2 of this series tomorrow with Kyle Harrison. That's going to just about do it for us here today. Tomorrow, it'll be Harrison versus McGreevy. Back to a 6:40 start time on the air at 6:05 on the On Deck Show. I will not be with you for postgame tomorrow. I am back on assignment with TBS. We'll be watching from afar. And then we'll have Brewers Weekly on Thursday night at 8 is the next time you'll hear from me, Bob Brainerd, in my chair tomorrow. Big thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, working on the holiday. I'm Dom Catronio. Lest we forget, Brewers win. Keep on singing.